Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Josie from the dark side. She can't figure out. Josie just about strangled herself with her headphones.
I'm okay now.
She's okay now.
I'm okay.
She was busy on the interwebs. And Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
This is a very special episode of the Child. Very special episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. That's why I'm talking in my serious
very special episode.
NPR, my NPR voice. Lisa Murphy, what's on the menu for today?
Well, we're calling the episode Lisa Has a Feeling, and What did you call it?
I thought it was had a.
Had a. Like it
you,
is had
you
a.
Had it
I,
and it's
I did.
Gone.
I had
done.
A feeling, and then it went away.
But it's has, but it, so we're going to assume the feeling is continuing.
So right. One, if you've been listening for a while, or if you've been seeing me for a while, and Jeff, I tease Jeff that this is the episode he's been waiting for, but... I am not married any longer, and I have been solo on my own running the business and whatnot for almost, God, it'll be almost 3 years in this summer. And not that it was ever any big secret, but, you know, it wasn't anything I was wanting to go out and, like, advertise, right? But, you know.
Well, you just recently finished the paperwork.
Well, yeah, it took 29 months for everything to get finalized. And so, I mean, my life was pretty stressful for a considerable amount of time. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it wasn't final until December of 2016. But anyway, I have no intention really of unpacking the divorce. There's really no reason for that.
It might be fun.
It might be fun.
There's some stories.
But
okay, go
but,
ahead.
But I told Jeff, I texted him, I'm like, dude, I have to talk about something over the podcast. And so I kind of filled him in on what it was. And he goes, well, probably if you want to tell the story, you probably need to let people know that you're not married anymore. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably a little backstory there. So and, you know, he's moved on and he's, you know, living his life. Tom, he's far away and he went to California and
kind of
And anyway, the point is that I've been solo for a while. And at Christmas, I met a boy.
Oh, my gosh. And first, you met a man. You're not. He's not in high school. He's a grown-ass man.
And not to bore you with all the details, but it was so awesome. He came up. He lives in Florida. And he came up to Rochester to visit his sister. And I know his sister. And our eyes met from across the room. It was so horribly like a movie.
Did you meet cute?
Did it what?
Did you meet cute?
What's that?
Meet cute is...
See, I knew Josie would know.
In romance books or romantic comedies, it's, you know, that funny way two people bump, you know, they bump into each other on the street and they both fall down, you know, cheesy stuff
like
that.
Like Tasha picking me up at the swimming pool.
Okay, then probably, yeah.
Was it cute?
Well, it was seriously eyes locked from across the room, and all I thought in my head was, who the hell is that tall, dark, and handsome man with? And then apparently at the same time, he looked at his sister and is like, who the hell is that? And then I saw him with the sister, and I was like, ooh. And anyway, so she introduced us, and that was on a Saturday, and he was there at the party the next day at Sunday, and that's when we started talking, and I found out where he lived, and then friends on Facebook, and one thing led to another, and anyway, in January, he came up to visit Rochester again, so I got to see him, and then in February, I changed my ticket last minute. It was just like a movie. I'm like, I'm going to go see him in Florida, and so I did, and then I just was with him this one too. So it's once a month that I've been able to go see him, and I'm stupid crazy. I'm absolutely stupid, insanely crazy about this man. The point that I wanted to talk about though was that this last week that when I was visiting him in Orlando, I flew and did the gig from there. So I did out and back. And as I landed in Texas, I was rude. I was being a bitch to people. I mean, I was being mean.
What's that look like?
When Lisa Murphy's a bitch.
Yeah. Hey, Miss Murphy, can I
just
help
get
you?
Me my car. Get me my car. Where's my car? It took four people to stuff my gear in the back of a car. I was so just like.
We need to swipe your card before we get you the car.
No, you don't. I actually need to swipe my card. My name should be on the board. Why is my name not on the board?
Your travel guy didn't get the car booked, so we need to verify that you're you.
I don't want to roleplay this. Because it was so out of character for me. And I was being rude. And it took me probably all damn day to realize that I was sad.
Why were you sad?
Because I missed my PJ. I really was sad, and I had never like been in that place. I'm like, oh my God, I have been a dick today because I wasn't able to just acknowledge like sitting in the sadness. And because I'm me, I was like, oh, we got to talk about this on the podcast because really what my thought was is that as a grown adult, and it took me that long to identify the actual feeling and then to like regroup on it. Like, what if you were a little kid and somebody's all, what are you making that face for?
Because I'm calling bullshit on this.
Why?
That you were sad and you finally had a feeling. I went through three fucking years of Lisa Murphy's damn feelings. You had a feeling that was related to, you had a happy, sad feeling. You were sad because you were away from this person that makes you happy, but you went through three damn long, painful years of being miserable, and you tell me that's the only time you were rude to people in that time? What about Indianapolis?
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
But we weren't podcasting about that, were we?
No, I told you. No.
What about Madison?
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah. And so it's not really so much the sad feeling that's the new feeling. The sad feeling isn't the new feeling to you. The happy feeling is the new feeling,
you know,
isn't
what?
It?
You're look at him. What is he, a therapist?
Apparently.
That's true.
People, you know what the problem? You got to watch out for Lisa Murphy when she's happy. I haven't seen Lisa since she met her PJ, who seems to be I approve. Seems to be an okay guy. First time pick her up at the airport yesterday. Between this has been less than 24 hours now. She's punched me over a dozen times. Lisa gets punchy when she's happy apparently. And, I think my shoulder is bruised. I'm not a litigious guy, but,
I'm going to sue me. If you punch me one more time.
If there's some kind of co-host abuse kind of thing I can file.
Co-host maybe. Abuse.
I don't know.
But that's a 100% valid analysis, Jeff.
I might need to go to a shelter.
to call that hotline. Podcast abuse.
Is your podcast host suddenly happy and punching you? Call 1-800-NO-PUNCHES. All right, so
that's true. No, that, no, it's true. I did, and through these last 3 years, I've had way more feelings actually than I even knew existed. I mean, ranging from, and you know, I mean, if you've been on the receiving end of some of them,
and most of them on that negative end of the scale.
It was horrible. I've never spent that kind of time wallowing in that level of emotion or those kinds of emotion, and it was just brutal.
You're a role with a person, but this tragic life thing happens, and I mean, it is a tragic. I mean, you guys were together a long time, and there was probably at least a good year in there.
Oh, there were lots of good years in there. Yeah.
And then that breaks. I can't fathom that. I mean, the day that, and I live in fear that Tasha's going to come to her senses one day.
and
she's going to be like, oh, what the hell? I can do better than this. I'm just so happy that she settled that I can't imagine having that not be anymore. So all I could do is try to nod and say, there, it's okay, because I just have never been there. But it must have been horrific. And now you're at this place where you are feeling happy again.
Oh, I'm stupid crazy right now. I will talk to anybody who wants to listen about this stuff. I mean, I feel like I'm 16. It's crazy. I love it. I'm like, I have been like pretty much, with the exception of that afternoon where I just remembered being a bitch to everybody, I have been like happy. And it was a little interesting about how, like, wow, how was I really was I so unhappy that this feeling is so different? And it's a nice place to be.
So is this a serious thing, or is this guy just a rebound?
No. No, I think the last guy was the rebound.
Oh, yeah? Really? What happened there?
Shut up. No, it got almost having to call the cops.
It got stalkerish?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say hi to him?
No. No.
Hi, beep. Okay, so let's turn this back to early learning. We all have lives beyond our work with children. Oh, you can turn it back to parenting as well. We all have lives beyond our work with children, and when life happens, when this negative stuff happens in life, and it happens, I mean, relationships break and people get sick and your dog dies and whatever it is, then we have to still show up and be mm-hmm. with children. We try to put on these happy face masks and just go through the motions of being happy for the people around us. The problem is that children are very good at seeing through those masks, because their welfare, it's kind of like the play face we were talking about in other episodes. Kids are very good at seeing through that, because their survival literally depends on the emotional state of the adults who care for them. And so they're doing this thing where they're always trying to read the body language, read the face of their caregivers. And so when we think we're faking it, most of the time, most of the kids are seeing through that. And then they're wondering, why am I getting this thing that
messages.
Looks like happy when there's this other vibe in the space? And so it becomes a real struggle that we as the adults in the space need to work through. Did you ever have, when you're going through all that uncomfortable part, I mean, the love part's easier, when you're going through that uncomfortable part, was there times when you got to do gigs that you're like,
ugh. Actually, you know, no.
Or does that become your,
that was like the safe zone, the safe space away from it. That was, yeah, I was wanting to be on the road. You know, it was tricky for a while, right? Mm-hmm. Because we did run everything together. And, you know, the first initial time frame where people were like, oh, you know, you're running solo now. And, you know, where's Tom? And, you know, it was that sometimes would throw a curveball where you were unexpectedly having to, you know, deal with it.
Yeah, and, because you don't want to talk about it yet. And it's just...
Well, and, you know, it was just kind of like, yes. I never announced it. I never hid it, but I didn't bring it up.
You kind of came out at UnCon last year.
If it came up, yeah. If somebody asked, and then my comfort level, of course, started to increase as the time went on too. And now I'm comfortable just.
Well, yeah, because that relationship, that's a part of you for so long, and then you become. I mean.
Well, and it was the business. I mean, that was what we did.
And so it's kind of a grieving process that
very
you go
much
through.
So. And yeah. you know, and how, and was it going to change the direction of where the business went? You know, is it still, you know, you build something as a couple, is it still going to even be viable? Is it going to morph? Is it going to change? You know, what's going to happen with all of that? But no, I think I saved my sad for at home.
That, yeah, that just kind of being, yeah, mm-hmm. that's hard. And so we, as caregivers, as parents, have a responsibility to kids to, I don't know what it is, I mean, we need to be as honest as we can with them about our feelings.
In an appropriate manner, right? And like... I think there's a balance between not ignoring the stuff in your life, right? You can't pretend like it's not happening. But at the same time, you got to figure out, you have to be able to navigate what's appropriate and what needs to be shelved until 5 o'clock but yet not deny the fact that, hey, you know, Miss Lisa's kind of crabby today. Mm-hmm. Don't really need to get into it with 4-year-olds as to why, but... You know, can we name it and then get on with our day?
Yeah, and that just
and have it not interfere.
Yeah, yeah, and just it's totally acceptable and appropriate to say to a group of 3 or 4-year-olds, "Hey, I'm kind of having a sad day," and if you sense that, there's
yes,
and just be aware of it. And kids are really understanding of that. I've told the story before, but it was the 1-year anniversary of when cancer killed my father, and I'm going through that happy face experience with it, trying to fake it through the day. And little 3.5-year-old Annie comes up to me, and she takes my face in her hands, which is what she did when we had to have serious conversations. And she looks at me and says, "Sad, Jeff?" Mm. And I'm like, "Well, yeah, but how do you know?" And I said,
limbic,
"Yeah, I am."
And her
head tilts the other way, and she says, "Hug." And then throws herself at me. When we're having bad days, naming it and giving them a chance to process that and respond to it is a good thing, because we as adults are freaking bad at emotions most of the time. And kids are brand new to them. Some of them are feeling things for the first time, and they don't have the language to put names. I mean, we're not very good at naming our emotions.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I owe everybody at that airport an apology. Malia, one time, I used to teach with I was always barefoot in the classroom. And I'm sure that's a freaking hippie. Is that what you said? And the reason was because if I have like sneakers on, my feet get hot. And if my feet get hot, then somebody's going to get yelled at. And so I was always very aware.
That's why it's chilly in the studio, Josie. Oh. That's why you and I are wearing sweatshirts.
And I have on a tank top and flips.
Yeah. Anyway, protection.
So for your own protection.
Yeah. That's right.
So anyway, I guess one day, and this was a long time ago. And little Malia came up to me and she said, "Miss Lisa, why don't you take your shoes off?" Like, she knew that the reason that I was being short with them was because my shoes were on. And sure as shit, I took my shoes off and all of a sudden, you know, I kind of calmed down. They're smart. Limbic resonance, right? So that's what we're picking up on when you walk into the room.
What's a limbic?
Limbic resonance. I'd have to look it up.
It's
your brain thing. And it's that feeling of... wow, I just walked, like, these people just had a fight. And you're like, "Everything okay?" And they're like, "Everything's just fine." And you're like, "You're a liar, because something just went down in here." And you know, when we're working with children, oh my gosh, to think that they're not picking up on that.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about having 5 senses, but we really have more than that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That
animal.
Yeah, like, and a lot of it is we're reading body language, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. I saw it yesterday. We've been on the road for close to 3 months, and then we're home for just a couple of days, and then pod week starts, and of course the daughter didn't keep the house as clean as Tasha likes it, and so Tasha's running around for 2.5 days vacuuming and cleaning and growling. And so yesterday I was gonna run to the store, and I could tell by the way she was walking I didn't want to go into the room she was in. And so instead of stopping and seeing if she needed anything from the store, I just left because self preservation becomes a thing there, and that's cool. We've had our relationship for a long time, and we're pretty good at reading each other, and I know she's not intentionally being bitchy, but was, and so I know to step back out of the way and then we'll reconnect later. But I mean, that stuff happens, and kids sense it, and we've got to be able to have those conversations about it.
Well, and it's one of the reasons we'll talk in the gigs about, you know, one of our main jobs is that teaching of communication and social emotional competence and conflict resolution, and yet we suck at it.
Yeah.
But it's like one of our biggest, hugest jobs.
So, Josie, relationships, what say you?
Well,
Are you in love?
I am, but that's nothing new. That's not exciting anymore.
So, what?
That stopped being exciting like 10 years ago.
No?
Yeah, like, no.
Yeah, we'll get on the Amazon later. I'll point you out some things.
Okay. Anyway. I have a very personal story from this year. It was not my finest teaching moment.
Are you going to tell it?
I am going to tell it. This, I teach 3 days a week, and there's another teacher in my, same kids for the most part, but there's another teacher in my room on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we just haven't really connected, and I've tried very hard to not let it show, but one day, not that long ago, I walked in, and there was just puddles of glue all over the table. I mean, it was trashed. I mean, and that, you know, a little mess is okay, but it was, I couldn't just walk in the room and start the day. I had to clean up for 20 minutes and I was mad. And I tried to put that happy face on, but I didn't do a very good job because I had several parents walk in and say, "Are you okay today? Are you okay?" I was like, "You're just not yourself." "Oh yeah, I'm fine. It's fine."
Uh-huh.
And one of my little people came up to me and said, "Miss Josie, why don't you like name of other teacher?"
Oh.
Okay. We're going to have to step back because obviously I thought I was doing a very good job of covering this up, but I'm not doing a very good job of covering it up. So,
yeah.
That took, yes.
So how did she, were you mumbling that under your breath and she heard?
I think because I never get to walk into my, because when I get there, there are always kids in my class waiting to come in. And I sometimes will walk in my room, but most of the time I don't want to just, the numbers are getting up in the other rooms. I need to get them and come in. And I think we walked in together and I probably had fit about what the room looked like.
Yeah, they're so good. I mean, it's amazing how good they are at reading people and understanding, and it matters. So, how'd you resolve it?
We're working on it. You know, we're there. There may have been another incident on the playground one day.
Did anybody get punched?
I was gonna say, did you punch her?
No.
Oh,
you
kicked her.
I didn't punch her.
What was he?
I wanted to. Oh.
What was the other incident?
Oh, I don't think she's ever gonna listen to this. No, and if she does. So, my class, it was very ingenious. We had a jungle gym, and they found this toy. It's supposed to be something you stand on, and you hold onto the handle, and you stand on the plastic part, and it's like you ski.
Okay.
It. They had taken one of these things, and they had hung it from the top of the jungle gym, and they had made a swing.
Okay.
It was really cool. They climbed on top of it. They were setting up crates so they could get on top of it, and one kid would move the crate and the other one would swing back and forth. It was really neat. It was also an activity that I wasn't going to walk away from just in case.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Stay close enough, but not interfering.
So we were all over there, and my own daughter happened to be out on the playground at the time, and she came over and she was standing by us. And a little boy in my class fell off the jungle gym, or not the jungle gym, the monkey bars, and I saw, but this other teacher who was there that afternoon subbing for another teacher went over and took care of him. So I looked, he was being taken care of. I thought we were responsible for all the children on the playground at the end of the day. Didn't worry about it.
Right.
I can hear her then very loudly telling every other teacher on the playground that I'm too worried about my own child, that I can't take care of the other children. And
so this one kid falls and all the adults in the playground are supposed to run to that one, apparently?
Apparently, and it's like, I'm at the time the only teacher that's actually sitting there interacting with children. Everyone else is in a huddle just
right.
talking.
Uh-huh.
It was not my finest moment. I kind of lost it on the, not loudly, but loud enough that everyone knew I wasn't very happy. And at that point, it was like, okay, we can't keep having
It's like, well, it's like a bad marriage. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, and the kids are going to pick up on that. The other people are going to pick up on it.
And I think to a certain extent, the kids did pick up on it. And one little girl in particular started using it against us.
Mm-hmm. They're so smart.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Like, I came in and the other teacher's stuff was always on the counter and I'd just pick it up and put it back in her closet. So I had the counter space and she'd come up to me and say, why do you always move her clipboard in the morning? And I'm sitting there thinking, what are they saying on the days that that I'm not here the other way?
Uh-huh.
That's But you know what? We've talked it out. We've resolved it. We're trying, you know, we're moving past it. But it was an unusual situation for me because I've just never really been...
like in that, I mean, you're knee-deep in conflict like all day.
And what happens way too often as programs is staff get shoved together without having any input in it. If we were being a little bit more mindful, the people that were going to be working together, I mean, if you're hiring somebody new, they'd be involved in the interview process.
100%.
And it just doesn't happen. And those really, like you said, it is like a marriage. You spend a lot of time together or at least in the same environment if you're not working the same hours. And so there needs to be a relationship there and a kind of meeting of the minds on philosophy and curriculum and practice. And if it doesn't happen, it is hard and they do pick up on it and we need to get better at that.
Don't get so upset. Tamar Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What the book is called. That's a really good one for working through those things.
Go back to the back catalog. Two interviews in the back catalog
How
with Tamar.
She? We need to call her.
Oh, I've been messaging with Tamar. I'll tell you about the project I'm working on in a future episode. But I've been in touch with her recently. Her mom recently passed away.
Oh, yes. I saw that on Facebook.
But I think she's, other than that, I think she's enjoying life as she should be. We got any more on this topic? It's kind of, I mean, I'm glad Lisa had a happy feeling.
Yeah, a happy feeling.
are you in love?
I am. Pitter patter.
My gosh, this is gonna make me sick. I kind of, man, this is kind of the ass I am. I'm really, really glad you're happy.
I smell a butt coming.
But oh, here's the big smelly butt. You happy is a little bit annoying. You're punching me and you're like all giggly and stuff.
I'll keep my hands to myself.
I'm really happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, maybe we'll do another episode on my tragic experiences during your divorce.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you were on the receiving end of a lot of conversations.
No, those were good conversations and glad we could be there for you. Anything else we need to touch on before we wrap this one up?
I like Happy Lisa.
Oh, thank you.
Happy Lisa's pretty good. As we're wrapping up, go to the explorationsearlylearning.com/support page. Click the Amazon link. And anytime you're shopping Amazon, use that link. Some people are buying. Where are we at? We got somebody bought a gift card, an Amazon gift card. Somebody bought some a charcoal Rocklin two-piece luggage set. Somebody got a purple set. That's really
Somebody's
nice.
Somebody's going on a trip.
Oh, somebody got some new sandals. Lots of good stuff going on there. I hear Josie bought something because it was going to be funny. So if you want to buy stuff just because it's going to be funny when I read it, go ahead and do that too because that supports the show as well. There we are. Anything else?
Good to go.
Hey, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you support the show. And I'm pretty proud made it through the whole episode without calling anybody an asshole. So so there we go.
Back to the show. Join us online at playvolutionhq.com and learn how to support the show at explorationsearlylearning.com/support.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.